Hello and welcome to the Journeys Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to check out The Journey live this Sunday at 10:30 a.m. at Boca Raton Community High School. Visit bocajourney.com for service times and directions. Now let's join lead pastor Nelson Searcy as he teaches live at The Journey.
All right, well, welcome once again to The Journey. It's great to see you. We're in a series called Financial Peace, and the big idea behind the series has been that God wants to take your financial stress and replace it with His financial peace. But since we are a little bit over halfway through the series, I have a confession to make. I haven't been telling you the whole truth. I mean, I'm ashamed to say it, but I haven't gone far enough. I mean, now don't get me wrong, it is true that God wants to take your financial stress and He wants to replace it with His financial peace, but that's only part of the equation. He said, not only does God want to give you financial peace, get this, God wants to bless your finances. You see, God doesn't want to just give you financial peace. He wants to take you to a whole new level, and God wants to bless your finances. And for so many people, that's shocking. Number one, there's 3,500 verses in the Bible that have to do with finances. Many of those are about how God wants to bless your finances. You see, God says you don't have to live with stress. You can find peace, but you can also experience blessing. Now, blessing is one of those words that we toss around in church. Sometimes we say it when somebody sneezes, but normally we use blessing inside of the church. What does that mean? Well, when God blesses your finances, He blesses you in two ways. Number one, He blesses you always in intangible ways. You see, when you honor God with your finances, when you live your financial life according to the principles of the Scripture, and remember, Jesus spent a third of His time talking about finances. When you live your life according to biblical principles, God blesses you in intangible ways. We sometimes call those spiritual blessings. We call it feeling at peace. We call it lower stress. We call it a greater sense of obedience. We call it harmony with God. This is when God does replace that stress with peace, and He blesses you in that intangible way. You really can't measure it. You just feel good. It's kind of like today, those of you who brought food for the canned food drive. You know, I brought out a box of canned food, and boy, I took it out there, and it just felt good. I mean, there was no way to measure that. I just felt better because I did it. Well, when you honor God with your finances, there is always, always, always intangible blessing. But get this. There's sometimes tangible blessing. Sometimes when you honor God with your finances, He blesses you in ways you can measure. Now, don't be afraid of this. And I will admit, some people have gone too far in this area. And they've said, if you give to God, God will give back to you and you'll get a new Cadillac. Not so. You know, you might get a new Honda. No, I'm just kidding. No, you're not going to get that. Not so. But don't be afraid of the tangible blessing. Listen, I heard about a guy who set a goal to honor God with his finances to get out of debt. And already in the short period that we've had in this series, he's making significant progress. In fact, some money came into his life from another family member that he wasn't expecting, and he was able to pay off his credit cards. Now he's already got it, so he's got a little other debt, still got to work on it, but that's tangible blessing. And you see, if you don't understand that, when that money comes in, you'd say, oh, I just got lucky. You get a raise at your job because you're honoring God with your money at church, you should praise God for that. And sometimes it works that way. In fact, I've heard people say, I started tithing an extra $50, and guess what? God replaces that with an increase in sales or an increase in their salary at work. Don't be afraid of this tangible blessing. Instead, be on the lookout for it. I can't promise it. I can promise intangible. But when it comes, give God praise for it. You see, God wants to bless your finances. But how? Let's grab our message notes. And let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. It's an interesting command because it ties giving in to so much of the other areas of God's blessing. It is our memory verse at 2 Corinthians 8, 7. So let's read it out loud together. If you'll find it, it'll also be up here on the screen. Ready? Take a deep breath. Go. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Underline that phrase, excel in this grace of giving. Now, how do you excel in this grace of giving? And why does God want you to become excellent at that? Well, God wants you to become excellent in giving, because the word excel and excellent go together. God wants you to excel at this. God wants you to learn this grace of giving. He wants you to move forward in this grace of giving because he wants to bless you. To demonstrate that, today I want to introduce you to the generosity ladder. Now, this is a ladder that we're going to talk about, and I'm going to invite you to move up the rungs of this ladder today. And this is how you excel in the grace of giving. And the further up this ladder you go, the more God can bless you, whether it's basic level, obedience level, or peak level. Now, to teach this to you, I'm going to share some insider information with you. So maybe it's good that this is a hurricane weekend. Maybe we just have insiders here today. I'm not sure. Now, if you're a first-time guest with us today, or you've just been around the journey for a couple times, you're going to learn some stuff about our church that, well, let's just keep it to ourselves right in here, okay? Some insider information. For example, I'm going to share some insider information about the percentage of people in our church who give or don't give. So what I've done is I've created a pie chart, and I've gone to our accounting team, and I said, look, you don't have to give me numbers per se, but how many people attend our church on a regular basis? You know, they call the journey their home, and they wake up on Sunday morning, they say, hey, I'm going to go to church. And they say, this is the journey, this is where I go. And then out of that large number, how many of those give nothing? How many give something? And then how many give a tithe? And I'll explain this as we go along. So this is representative of the regular attenders of our church. This doesn't represent those who are new, those that have only come in during the series. This represents those who call the journey home. Now, one of the first things I found out is that when it comes to our church, we have about 20% who aren't giving anything. So 20% of the people in our church basically give nothing. Now, there's a lot of reasons for why this might be. Number one, maybe they don't earn anything. You know, we have people in our church who are unemployed. South Florida is at a high unemployment rate. So if money's not coming into your life, then there's no money that's going to go out of your life. Just understand that. I don't want you to feel guilty. This is not a message about that. This is a message about blessing. But there is a percentage of people in here who just don't earn anything. For whatever reason, that's the case. Now, I will say, sometimes I talk to somebody who's unemployed, and they say, well, I'm not expected to give anything to God, am I? And I'm like, no, you're unemployed. But then the more we talk, the more I realize when they were employed, they weren't giving anything to God either, okay? So, you know, don't be too soft on yourself with this. Second thing I've learned is that according to the national average, we're about half of the average church. In other words, in the average church in America, 40% of the people don't give anything. So we're actually doing pretty good. I mean, especially considering that we're a brand new church. Because the other thing about this number is, well, you know, some people may not be convinced yet. They want to support our church. You know, we're a year and a half old, still kind of new. So maybe some people are there. But there are a few that are what I might call stubborn non-givers. They're just not yet sure about this. And maybe they have a pattern of doing this. So my challenge for you, if you happen to fall into this category, I have scissors and I'm a little scared. Okay, my challenge to you, if you're in this 20% and you do have income coming into your life, my challenge for you is to start giving something. So in your notes, while I try not to cut my finger off, in your notes, write this down. First step is to return an initial gift to God. So if you're in this 20% and you do have money coming into your life, the basic level for getting on the ladder is to just give something, to return an initial gift to God. So I want you to get off the floor, because that's where you were, and I want you to move up here onto the first rung of this ladder. Now, because I know the pie chart's a little nebulous, I've brought another helper with me. I've brought my generosity ladder climber. Now, if you've been around the journey for a while, this bears a striking resemblance to somebody else on our staff, but we're just going to let that go for now, okay? So here you are over here. You were not on the ladder, but now it's time to move to basic level giving. In other words, just to give something. And by the way, sometimes people are down here because they say, well, I'm a college student. Well, you know what? If you just have a little bit of money coming into your life, you just give a little bit. If you're a high school student and you get an allowance, you just give a little bit. You give what you can. It's basic level. It's return an initial gift to God. Here's how it works. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. Now, about the collection for God's people. So God says, let me talk about the offering. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should, underline this phrase, set aside. set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. Now, a lot of people get caught up on the word above set aside, which is the first day of the week. They say, well, this means we should only give on Sunday. Well, in those days, most people worked Monday through Friday. Saturday was the Sabbath, so the first opportunity they had to give was on Sunday because they got paid on Friday. So in a world where everybody got paid on Friday, the first opportunity you had to give was on Sunday because of the Sabbath, and then you went to church. Now, in our day, that's not the case anymore. In fact, I would venture to say most of us in here, we don't get paid on Fridays. Some of you do. Most of us get paid like at the 1st or the 15th of the month. But the point of the first day of the week is as soon as money comes into your life, you should return that back to God. Now, we also, nobody carries checkbooks anymore. So one of the reasons we offer the opportunity for you to give with a debit card on your offering envelope is because that's how we live in our day. But the point is, when money comes into your life, you set aside a sum, a portion of that, and you return it to God. Now, why does God say this? It's not because God needs your money. And I want to say right up front, I'm not doing this message today because we as a church need your money. We don't. In fact, we have a plan to be self-sufficient over 2 years, and we're actually ahead of that plan. Our church is a very generous church. In fact, you can see it just in this number. I've got pastor friends that would be totally envious of that. Because I've got a friend who pastors a very large church in Dallas, Texas, and he told me that he's going to teach something similar, and 50-something percent of the people in their church don't give. So we have a very generous church. So it's not about us needing money. It's not about the church needing money, all of that. I make my living as a writer, so this is not about me. This is about you. God doesn't want your money, but here's what he wants. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. Look at what Jesus said, Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I want to challenge you to get started. Now, how do you get started? Let me just, before you turn the page, listen. If you're in the 20%, what you've probably been doing is you may have been giving something, but you haven't been using an offering envelope. Because the other part of the 20% is if it's not identifiable, we don't know if you're giving it or not. Now, you say, well, should the church know how much I give? Listen, in the Bible, when people brought their offerings in 1 Corinthians 16, when people brought their offerings, they brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet. In other words, at the end of the service, the apostles would gather down front and people would bring forward their offerings. So they knew. I mean, they could see it. I'm so thankful we don't do that anymore. That would be awkward as can be, okay? So the day when we pass the buckets and things like that in the church, or you give online, if you give online, you're going to be able to get a report of that. If you give using an offering envelope, we'll be able to tell you where your money is going. And so give an identifiable gift to God. And a good place to start, I think, is $100 a month. Most people could give $100 a month. That's coffee money for most people. Now, you could say, well, how about 75? I'll let you decide. There's nothing biblical about 100, but here's what I know you have to do if you're going to give 100. You have to think about it. You have to plan for it. You know, $25 a week. You probably just don't show up with 25 bucks in your pocket. You got to think about it a little bit. And so this allows you to get on the ladder to basic level. But of course, God doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to move up. He wants you to move up this ladder. And this is where there's a lot of people in our church that have room to move. What we found is that there are 76% of the people in our church who give something. In other words, they give between a dollar and minimal level tithe. They're not tithers, they give something. They're somewhere between tippers and almost tithers, okay? They say, well, how do you know that? Well, we're in some ways just using good logic, because what we're saying is, if you are making poverty level income, this is how much you should be giving if you tithe. So poverty level income in South Florida is about $16,000. So if you're giving poverty level tithe, so if you're at $1,300 or below, because we're not quite through the year yet, then we're putting you in this category. If you're giving $1,300 or more, we're counting you as a tither. Now, I know that's not precise. In fact, this number that we're going to get to in a moment, this little number here, may need to be smaller, but we're giving you the benefit of the doubt as part of this. And what we're saying is 76% of people are giving something, and that's good. You're on the ladder. You're like my little friend here. You're on the ladder. But now it's time for you to move up to obedience level. And what does that obedience level look like? In your notes, inside, it's to return the full tithe to God. To return the full tithe to God. So this is where most of us live. So this is where There's the biggest opportunity for growth. 76% of us are giving something, which is an incredible number. I'm so proud of you to be in that 76%. I'm ashamed to tell you that I lived a good portion of my life in the 76%. In fact, the first 10 years of my Christian faith, I tipped God. I gave God something. At the same time, I continued to go in debt. I continued to make foolish financial decisions. But 10 years ago, I decided I wasn't content to live here anymore. And I decided that I was going to move up to the full tithe. So the 76% that are stuck here, it's time to move up. And your move is to move up to obedience level. This is good. Basic level is good. You're giving something. But God cannot bless you until you give the minimum level of obedience, and that's called the tithe. We looked at this passage last week, so this is by review, but Malachi 3, 8 through 10. It's strong words. Boy, oh boy, it's tough teaching here, but it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask," I would ask too, "how do we rob you, God?" And he said, "in tithes and offerings." In other words, God says, if you're not giving him the full tithe, you are keeping money that belongs to him. Because God gave you 100% of your income, and he just asked for 10% of it back, and if you only give a percentage of it back, 1% of it back, say, then you're robbing him. But now, here's the teaching. Look at this. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. You want to know why so many people are in debt? You want to know why so many people have financial stress? It's because they're not experiencing the blessing of God. Now, the curse here upon the 76% in our church is not a proactive curse. It doesn't mean that God's out to get you. Doesn't mean that you're going to lose your salvation. We'll get to salvation before we wrap up today. Doesn't mean any of that. It simply means that you are not in a position for God to bless you. It's like God has a waterfall of blessings that he wants to pour out on you, but you're standing over here somewhere. So you're not going to be able to receive those blessings. So you've got to get in a position where God can bless you. And that position is this rung of the ladder. Because when you're here at this rung of the ladder, there is no blessing that God can hold back from you or will hold back from you. So here's the solution. Bring the whole tithe into my storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now, of course, he's talking about the church. In those days, it was the temple. In our day, it's the church. So you bring it to the church. You give it where you attend. And then God says something really interesting. He says, "Test me in this." I'll come back to test me in a moment. "And see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing." Who? On these people. "So much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." Now, what's the tithe? I brought with me 10 $1 bills. So I go out and I work and I earn these 10 $1 bills. Now, what most people do is they allow the government to take the first three. Then they allow their house payment to take the next three. And then they allow their credit card company to take the next two. And then they allow this one to go to entertainment. Then they allow this one to go to clothes. And they go over here and they borrow from Visa and MasterCard. And by the time it's all left, there's no money to give to God. So what does God say a tithe is? A tithe is the first tenth. The first tenth. It's not just a tenth. It's a very special first tenth. So God says when you earn $10, you take the first dollar and you give it back to him. You say, "God, this is going to be my tithe and offering to you." Now, just to be real clear, the offering is over and above the tithe. We'll come to that in a future message. But the tithe is the minimum. It's the first 10. And then God says you can live on the other 90%. So yes, you got to pay your taxes. Yes, you have to pay down your mortgage. But here's what God does. When you give that first tenth to him, and you say, "God, that's going to you," he blesses this other 90. And in a miraculous way, I cannot explain except through my own testimony, I can tell you God stretches this 90 further than if you tried to stretch all 10 of it by yourself. It's an amazing kind of thing. It requires faith. Faith to give God that money. Because here's what you're going to say. I can't do it. It doesn't make sense on paper. If you knew my debt, if you knew my mortgage, if you knew my student loans, if you knew my obligations, if you knew this, if you knew my alimony, if you knew all this stuff, I understand that. It doesn't make sense. But I can tell you, 10 years ago when Kelly and I said, "You know what we're going to do? We're going to give God that first 10%. Since then, it's been incredible what God's done with this 90. And I'll tell you, my 10 is not very big, but the 90% with God's blessing has been incredible. And so I challenge you to give that first 10% to God. Now, why did God say 10%? Well, as I told you last week, I don't know. There's no biblical reason for why he said 10% other than he said that's enough. I personally think he did 10% because it's easy to measure. You know, you say, "Well, okay, $1,000, that's $100. You know, it's not complicated math. Now, it's good to start this, by the way, when the amounts are small. You know, when you make 20,000, it's easier to give God 2 than it is when you make 200,000, you have to give God 20. But nonetheless, honoring God with your finances. Look at what it says in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth. By the way, if you don't think you're wealthy, I want you to be here next week, okay? I'm going to prove to you next week that all of you are rich beyond measure. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Look at this phrase. With the, what's those two words? First fruits. The first fruits means the first dollar that you earn of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. If you know the story of Cain and Abel, you know, Cain brought some of his fruits, like one of these last dollars over here, and because of that, he was cursed. God couldn't bless his finances. He got mad about that. He committed the first murder in the scripture because he wanted God's blessing, but God said, no, you gave me the leftovers. Abel brought the first fruit, and so God was able to bless him. This is one of the big reasons I think you should automate your giving, because the government has learned you can't be trusted with your money, so they deduct it straight out of your paycheck. Somehow, I think they kind of got that from God or whatever, because God said that you pay me first, you give to me first. So here's what happens in my paycheck. My paycheck shows up in my bank, and immediately the first part of that goes to God. I automate my giving. It's so easy to do. You know, just like I automate my mortgage payment or I automate my internet at home, it just goes straight out. So then when we receive the offering in here on Sunday, I can just celebrate. I mean, first of all, I'm usually on stage anyway when the offering's being received, but I can celebrate that I've honored God with the first fruits. And you can too when you automate your giving. So I have a challenge for you. For the next 4 months, I want to challenge you to give the first 10% to God. Remember I said I was going to come back to that word, test me? The only time in the scripture God uses the word test me in a positive way. He says, test me in this. So today, I'm going to be obedient and teach that scripture to you, and I'm introducing what I'm calling the 4-month tithe challenge. On the back of your connection card, you may have seen it. On the back of your connection card, it says, my next step today is to. And then the second one is, yes, I am committing or recommitting to the 4-month tithe challenge. Now, we've done this once already in our church, and the stories were incredible. In fact, in just a moment, you're going to hear from somebody who took the tithe challenge that we did a year ago. But I'm challenging you, as a family, as an individual, as a single person, as a man, as a woman, I'm challenging you to take the 4-month tithe challenge. Now, if you're in the 20%, you can go straight to obedience level. Just take the tithe challenge today. But if you're in the 76% and you've been giving something for you, it's going to be increasing all the way to that 10% minimum. So I'm going to challenge you to commit, or you notice what it says, or recommit, because I know some of you are tithers and you don't want to miss out on this either. I'm a tither, but I'm going to recommit to this and say I'm going to be part of it for the next 4 months. Test God and see if he doesn't do what he promised to do, which is pour out so much blessing in your life that you'll never want to go back down this ladder. You see, what's cool is once you go up a step, you say, how was I so foolish? Why didn't I do this earlier? It's like the person who got out of debt. They say, why did I wait so long to get out of debt? You know, why didn't I do this earlier? That's what I hear over and over and over. That's been my story when Kelly and I started tithing. I can tell you, it's been unexplained blessings. And if Kelly was here, I mean, sometimes we just sit around and think about how much God has blessed us. Now, we're not rich in that sense and by South Florida standards by any means, but we're rich in the spiritual sense. You know, I can't tell you the last time we had an argument about money. I mean, number one, we just automate everything. So it just goes here and goes there. We don't have to think about it. Just automate it as part of that. But there's a blessing in that. And then I want you to hear from another couple in our church. A year ago when I gave the tithe challenge, they took it. And so we recently sat down with them, and here's their story. Take a look.
My name's Joe, and this is my wife, Lauren. And on September 12th of 2010, I surprised her with a trip for her birthday to New York City. I had bigger plans than just celebrating her birthday. I actually popped the question on that day. And luckily for me, she said yes. And we got back, and you fast forward 2 weeks from there, and I got laid off from my job. You know, we held garage sales, more than I care to admit. We had to sell a bunch of stuff that we didn't really want to part with, but we had to. Around that time, you know, we had started coming to the Journey, and we had realized that we were pretty close to losing everything, and you know, really felt like we needed to build our faith and learn to not lean on ourselves for everything. And so we started taking baby steps. That was kind of like, we always talk about that. We need to take baby steps in our faith, one little thing at a time. The Journey had issued the tithe challenge. And we kind of both looked at each other like, okay, here's the next baby step. And it's not so much of a baby step as it is jumping off a cliff. Yeah, giant leap. And we made a commitment right there that we were going to take this tithe challenge. We were going to put God first in our finances, because we certainly weren't getting it right, that's for sure. We weren't married at that point. We were engaged. We were trying to figure out how we were going to pay for a wedding. And then giving 10% of your monthly income, which was next to nothing at that time anyway, away from a wedding budget,
right,
was scary. We had gotten married. We were married. We got through the wedding. Everything worked out with that.
Somehow.
The other end of that whole process, we realized that we were at zero. We were absolutely broke. There was nothing. There was nothing left. We had gone down to one car because we couldn't afford two insurances. I had been looking for a job for just under 2 years at that point. I couldn't find anything. And she just randomly happened to notice that there was a job fair in the newspaper. And so I was like, you know, what do I have to lose? Let's go. And we were to the point that I had sold all of my nice work clothes in garage sales. So I don't even remember what I wore. I don't even think it fit me. I had to borrow stuff or whatever. Showed up to this job fair and landed a job. And 2 weeks away, I was hired. And once I had gotten hired, we couldn't live with one car anymore, because I worked in Boca and she worked, you know, in Lake Worth, a mile from the house. And we just couldn't figure out how to get everybody to work on time.
Our schedules were not on the same page.
And randomly, my mother happened to give us a car. Hey, here you go, it's yours, just get it running. I don't know anything about fixing cars, but I got it running. Taking the tithe challenge is not like a get rich quick scheme, if you will. It's not like this plan where you do this and the money shows up in the bank account. We're not wealthy by any means, but I can't say that on this end of it so far, coming close to the end of the 6 month challenge, we're gonna continue tithing. Because what we do have is a wealth of faith now.
You know you can trust God, but now being able to say, all right, this is something that's bothering me in my life. This is something that's going on. This is something that's too much for me to handle on the weight of my shoulders. I think we really feel comfortable now just giving it to God.
So I want to invite you to do that as well. If you will, find your connection card if you don't already have it handy. On the back it says, yes, I am committing or recommitting to the 4 month tithe challenge. And if you take that challenge, I've got a packet of information I want to send you this week. We're going to be praying for you along the way, and we're going to be expecting that God's going to do some great things. And a parallel step for many of you is to automate your giving. You know, I mentioned this, but inside of your offering envelope each week, you may not have noticed, but we have options for you to automate your giving. You can automate using a debit card, or you can automate on your checking account. And you know, the truth is, the things that we value most, we automate. You know, like each week I have a date night in my calendar with my spouse. Each morning I have time with God in my calendar. It's just there automatically inside of my calendar program. And then the same thing with my mortgage or with a couple of other bills that we have, they're just automated. So what I've said is, God, I want you to be first, and so I'm going to automate. And I do this because I would get that report from the church, and I would see that I was behind. Because I gave when I was at church, or, you know, I gave the days I didn't forget my checkbook, or I gave the days I wasn't in a rush or didn't get caught up in Journey Kids. But I said, you know what, I want to automate this, because most people assume they're giving more than they are. And so that's one of the reasons this reporting becomes so important for you. When you give an automated or give an identifiable gift, we can report and let you know what God's doing inside of our church. So you want to think about that. But for today, mark that next step and say, yes, I'm going to commit. Now, a couple of questions I always get. Number one is, do I tithe off the gross or the net? And that's a big question. It's a good question. And so the glib answer is, which one do you want God to bless you off of? Well, I want God to bless me off the gross, because that's a much bigger number. But the answer is, just because the government took their portion first doesn't mean that 100% of it didn't belong to God. So you tithe off of the gross. And then another question I often get is, well, my income is sporadic. Well, that's okay. Whenever money comes into your life, you give the first 10% to God. God only holds you accountable based on what you earn. So when money comes in, you give it. Then the other thing I get is, well, isn't that tithing Old Testament stuff? And so many churches have taught so poorly about this. And I'll tell you one of the reasons they do. One of the reasons so many churches teach so poorly about this is because the pastors never experienced the blessing. And that sounds kind of harsh, but, you know, I do a lot of conferences for pastors, and I have a book called The Generosity Ladder, and I hear from them all the time. Nelson, you're teaching me something I didn't know, because there's no class in seminary about this. And so a lot of times pastors don't talk about it because they're not sure in their own life about it. But I can tell you from experience that it works, and I can tell you from the experience of thousands of pastors that have read my books that they're now experiencing this as well. And it's not just an Old Testament idea. In fact, it has nothing to do with the law. You know, this does not save you. Becoming a tither doesn't save you. Becoming a tither doesn't, you know, put you in a position where God likes you or loves you more. But it does put you in a position where you're underneath that waterfall of blessing that he can pour out inside of your life. And then, of course, you know, sometimes I just say, look, you don't have to believe me. Just pray about it. You know, maybe right now you're thinking, should I take this challenge or not? And so just pray about it. Just right now where you are. Then, you know, say, dear Jesus, do you want me to take this tithe challenge? Jesus, should I tithe? And as you're praying about that, look at this verse from Matthew chapter 23:23. Jesus said, yes, you should tithe, and you shouldn't leave the more important things undone either, all right? There's just some things you don't have to pray about because it's so clear in the scripture. And so the issue is not, does God want to bless you? He does. The issue is, will you step up to obedience and allow God to bless you? Which, by the way, I love that verse where Jesus says, yes, you should tithe. He says, like, almost like this is a no-brainer, you should tithe. But then what about this more important things? Jesus says, I want to get you to this level because that's not all I've got for you. Jesus says, I've got a whole new world for you at the top of this generosity ladder. And that's what this last step is about. That's what peak level is about. And so based on poverty level income, in other words, if you're just tithing on poverty level income, what we found is about 4% of our church is tithing. And so, you know, that's a good number, 4%. Now, I don't want it to stay there, but the good news is we have some that are tithing, at least on poverty level income. And so to the 4% who are already there, who are recommitting to the tithe, or for those of you that are joining this highest level, today, I want you to know there's another level for you. There's a peak level. And that's to live your life up here. So jot this down across the page in your notes. Peak level, become a generous giver. Become a generous giver. That's the third rung of the ladder. Now we're going to talk more about a life of generosity in the future because this is really where God wants you to live. God wants you to live at this highest level. And what God says is being a generous giver, first of all, has absolutely nothing to do with how much you make. Just as financial peace is not an issue of the size of your income, peak level living is not an issue of the size of your income. In fact, I think it's interesting that when Jesus decided to talk about this, he actually chose the poorest of people to raise up as an example. You no doubt have heard this story, but let's look at it. Mark 12, 41 through 44. Jesus went over to the collection box in the temple. Okay, that's a little interesting right there that Jesus is watching the offering. And he sat and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. You know, you can give a large amount and still not be giving the tithe. You know, if you make $1 million a year, but you're only giving $80,000, that's not really a tithe. That still puts you down here in this level. So many rich people put in large amounts. But then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 pennies. He called his disciples to him and said, I assure you, this poor widow has given more than all the others have given, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus, what was left over, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. Boy, isn't that a model? Jesus said, look, I don't just want the 10%. I want all of your life. I want you to live at this highest level of living. What does it look like to live here? Well, it means that you're giving and increasing your percentage of income every year above the tithe. It means that you're quick to be generous. When opportunities come around for you to do the canned food drive or for you to be involved in something, you're quick to be generous if God tells you. It means that God is controlling your money instead of your money controlling you. It means that you have giving goals and they motivate you each year. It means that you're saying, God, all of my income belongs to you, and I want to use it for your purposes. You see, true generosity is growing to the point where I say, I want what God wants. You know, giving is so powerful because it's connecting to our heart. You know, giving shows that we're honoring God with our finances. Giving breaks the bond of materialism. Giving opens up our hearts to the needs of people around us. Giving makes us more like Jesus Christ, because Jesus gave the tithe. He also gave his life for us on the cross. Giving makes us happy. An intangible blessing. We feel that joy, that peace. Giving makes us like God, because God is a giver. And giving makes God happy. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, you must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Ultimately, God leaves it up to you. He says, I'll let you choose. Where do you want to be? You get to choose how much blessing you receive. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. And I'd say that to you today. Don't do this just because I'm teaching you to do it, or we've got a cool ladder or a really good-looking guy here. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully. Okay, a little time of evaluation. Where are you on this generosity ladder? You see on the back page of your notes, there's this ladder. And where are you? Are you today just deciding to get on the ladder? Are you today going to move up to obedience level and take the giving challenge? I mean, I know for those of you who aren't giving, just to give something, use an offering envelope today. That's a big step, so start doing that. For those of you that are giving something, to take the tithe challenge, big step, but decide to do that. And for those of you that are giving the tithe, don't get so smug and say, boy, I'm there. Just say, God, it's really about you, ultimately. Real quick, a couple of thoughts on the ladder in general. You know, I wrote this book, The Generosity Ladder. It's a little book. I gave it to you last week, and we probably have some copies at the resource table if you want it. And it's been amazing how God's used that book. You know, just recently I heard a story from somebody in Washington State who was using some of that book in her life and how God has blessed that. I heard from a couple in Virginia. I heard from someone in Lagos, Nigeria, who read the book and is experiencing some of what God is doing here on this generosity ladder, experiencing that blessing. So I have a few thoughts just about the ladder in general. Those who are least likely to be in debt are usually here or here. What I found is the people who are at the lower rungs of the ladder or off the ladder, those are the ones who are in debt. And the reason they're in debt is because they can't break those old habits because they don't have God's blessing. Those that are experiencing the blessing of God in their finances are those that are at the obedience level. This is really where the blessing starts. You may have some intangible blessing here, but this is where you really know that you're being obedient, because God wants us to live a life of obedience. As you move up the ladder, there's a greater sense of significance, of knowing that God is first in your life and knowing that God is in control of your life. There's a greater sense of, God, you're in first place in all of my life. And what I found is because money is connected to your heart, that often when you get the financial part of your life right, other pieces begin to fall into place as well. But then I do have one caution about this ladder. This ladder has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. You can be saved and be totally off this ladder. You can be stubborn and never give a dime to God, but he says if you'll come to Jesus Christ, he'll save you. Because the exact opposite of the generosity ladder is grace. Grace that saves you. Grace that God gives to you. Grace says, I love you whether you ever give anything to me or not. Grace says, there's nothing you can do to make me love you more. There's nothing you can do to make me love you less. The ladder says that once you're saved by grace, there are greater blessings in this life that God wants to give you. Grace says that if you choose to live down here as a Christian, that you may get to heaven and find out that you missed out on some of what God has for you. But grace doesn't save you. The person who gives a lot of money to God is no more likely to get to heaven than the person who gives nothing to God. Because salvation is all about Jesus. This is about obedience after following Jesus. And those are two different things. So today, if you've never said yes to the grace of God, the love of God found in Jesus Christ, I invite you to experience it. Jesus said these words. It's the last verse in your notes. He says, remember, or this is a quote of Jesus, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, he said this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's true when it's come to this ladder. It's also true to the idea that Jesus Christ gave himself for you on the cross. And he'll bless you with salvation when you receive him into your life. And then he'll bless you as a Christian as you move up the ladder, as you obey him with your finances. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Just give you a chance here with your heads bowed and eyes closed to pray. Maybe you just want to pray, God, what do you want me to do today? In light of this teaching, in light of this series, in light of the fact that I'm here today, what do you want me to do? Because even though I've given insider information about our church, maybe you're here for the first time and I believe God wants to speak to you. So maybe just right now you let him speak. Today is your day to say yes to Jesus Christ and his grace that saves you. Just right now, say, Jesus, I want to follow you from this day forward. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Be my leader. Be my Lord. Help me to live for you from this day forward. If you're not yet a giver, maybe it's to say, God, give me the courage to start giving. If you give something but you're ready to move up to tithing, say, God, I want to take this tithe challenge. I'm a little scared. I'm a little uncertain. I'm excited even. Be with me as I take this 4-month tithe challenge. And ultimately, I think all of us can pray, and I believe this is true about you, or you wouldn't be here today. God, we want to honor you with all of our lives. We want to experience all of your blessings. We invite you to make us more like your son, Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this podcast. This is only part of what you can experience live at The Journey. When you join us for a Sunday service, you can expect practical teaching, rockin' music, casual dress, a great kids program, and a church experience that's actually fun. Visit BocaJourney.com for service times and information. If you would like to give to the ministry of The Journey, you can give online anytime at www.BocaJourney.com/giving. If you have questions or feedback, please email us at info@BocaJourney.com.